Good evening, saints. If you will, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to start my reading at verse number 1 through 3. If you were paying attention to some of the scriptures that was read in your hearing by my fellow brothers in Christ, you probably get understanding as to what tonight's lesson will be about. Hebrews chapter 12, these are some very familiar passages for those who are members in the Lord's church. And I'm going to start again my reading at verse number 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a greater cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. You know, one of the things that I had an opportunity to do these past, I would say, probably about 3 or 4 years, is I had an opportunity to go to an event up in UT Austin, up in University of Texas. And the event is called the Texas Relays. And I just think it's the best event in the world because this is an event where you have the best athletes in the world come and they compete. And I just thought it was unique and such a good event because they allow high school kids to run on the same track as these Olympic athletes. And I got an opportunity to go, and I've been going for the past like 3 or 4 years, and not only to see my son Braylon run, but to see these world class athletes. I'm talking about, you see these guys and ladies run, and you, man, they run so fast, and you wonder, how could they do it? You know, and you know, you see them running the 100 meter, and you're like, man, they just move so fast. But the one that really gets me is the marathon runners. You know, those were the guys I call the string bean guys, you know, because they're so skinny because they do all the running and everything. And they get these kids that come from all over the world. You know, you got kids from Somalia and Ethiopia that come to college and you know, just to run for a particular school. And they're out there running for a long time. You know, I mean, 26 miles. I mean, a long time. World class athletes. And and I sit there and I watch them and I just think about how do they condition their body to do that, to run that distance. Now, if we think in our mind running 26 miles, and I'm not talking about a pace that's very slow, I'm talking about a very steady, fast pace. And you have to wonder, like, wow, how could their body take that? But then, you know, when I was studying for my lesson, I got to thinking, and I was reading the Hebrew letter, and I was reading chapter 12 in particular, and I was thinking about the race that we run. And I look in this audience, and, you know, even though I've seen world-class athletes run, those world-class athletes cannot compare to the run that we have run as Christians. Even though we have individuals in here that's probably 70, 80, 90 years old, you're running the best run that anybody could run in this world. Not only that, is that this run is that it's not to win some type of physical prize. It's the best prize that anyone can get. So you know, I want to talk about running and the run that we run as Christians, because again, you know, I'm looking at world-class athletes right in this room with me. World-class athletes that have been running this race. You know, and I sit back and I think about some of our brothers and sisters that's been in Christ for a very long time. And just think about all the things they had to go through, all the obstacles they had to endure. Some of them are doing it right now. You know, we have so many elderly members that are not here, but some that are here. Even though they're here, you know, you can tell that they're hurting. You know, I talked to some, and I won't mention any names, but I talked to some of them, and they just say, "I'm here, brother." And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And when we think about this run, it's just so good to know that you have these world-class athletes right beside you running your race, cheering you on as you as you're cheering them on. But when we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and again, these are some very familiar passages. And to give you into context is where we at in the book of Hebrews. And we've talked about Hebrews, and I've taught a class on the entire book of Hebrews. But when we get to chapter 12, and it starts off with wherefore or therefore. Now, when you see that in the Bible, and this is a tool that Christians should always remember, that you have to think that when you see therefore, is there for a reason, right? Meaning that it's connecting something that you should pay particular attention to. And when it starts off in chapter 12 where it says wherefore, meaning it's connecting to chapter 11. Now, chapter 11 is a very famous chapter. We all know about chapter 11. We call it the Hall of Faith. It's where the Hebrew writer lists all those from every age and those who have showed exemplary faith. We talked about Abel, how Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. He talked about how Enoch was translated, how Noah built the ark, how Abraham sojourned to a strange land. So he goes through every age and he talks about those who showed exemplary faith. But then he gets to chapter 12 and he connects what happens in chapter 11 to those who are going to be running their race. And listen what he says here at the beginning of chapter 12 and verse number 1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. So he connects what our journey is, our race, to those that are in chapter 11. And not only that, is that he gives the illustration of those who had showed exemplary faith in chapter 11. He gives the image of us being in an arena and that they're cheering us on as we run our race. So we can look back at chapter 11 and we can see and read about their story, what they went through. You know, nobody's journey in the Bible, not one servant of the Bible had an easy life, not even our Lord and Savior. And we can see that these individuals that went through tough times as they were running their race and how they can be an example to us. But not only that the Hebrew writer tells us is that they are cheering us on. Now, I'm not saying that they're actually watching us today, but it's the illusion that the Hebrew writer is giving is that they're cheering us on as we run our race. That each and every one of us have to run this race. And when I tell you that this race is not an easy race, it's a difficult race. It's a difficult race. But one thing I wanted to let you know is that Jesus set the example. Let's continue to read. Listen what it says here. It gives us some more information about this race and what we ought to do to prepare for this race. Listen what it says. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Now, you know, one of the things I've never seen, right? I never seen one of those Olympic runners run with cowboy boots on or a coat on, right? No, they run in with the proper shoes and their proper equipment and nothing that will weigh them down, that they try to use the lightest clothing so they can move faster and be able to obtain their goal. As Christians, we should do the same thing. Is that when notice it said weight and sin. Right. Meaning that this weight, right, is not sinful necessarily. You know, some of the things that I think about is that, you know, one of the things I like to do is that I like to watch football. Now, football on a Sunday is not sinful. Right. But it's not expedient either. Right. If I allow me being a fan of football get in the way of me worshiping the Lord, then it becomes a weight. You see that there are things in our lives that are not necessarily sin, right? But sometimes we give those things too much attention more than we give attention to our Lord and Savior, or more than we give attention to reading our own word. These things become a weight. So the Hebrew writer tells us to take off those things. Don't let those things weigh us down. We're running this race for a purpose, and that we can't allow this weight to weigh us down. Not only that, he tells us that to lay aside all weight and sin, and then he says, "Let us run." That's an active term. Let us run. One of the things about this race is that we see that when we're running, that we're running for a reason. We're not just running around a track and running through this life without some type of purpose. Now, we read this verse in your hearing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And listen what the Apostle Paul says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm gonna start reading in verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. It says here, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may attain. And every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight not one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I might find myself a castaway." Paul says when he does this, that when we're running this race, that we're running for a purpose, right? That we're not just aimlessly just running. And one thing that we need to understand when we run this race, that we all have our own race to run. Each and every one of us. I can't run your race. You can't run my race. That we all have a race that we all have to run. And in the next part, it says that this race, right, that it says that with patience, it says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We have, each and every one of us, have a race that is set before us. My journey may be a little bit difficult than yours, or it may be a little bit hilly, or maybe yours may be a little bit curvy. Either way, we all have a particular race that we run. And guess what? I can't run your race, and you can't run my race. We all have a particular race, and we all are striving for one goal. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sorry, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 13. See, one of the things that hinder us when we're running our race is that we tend to look backwards. We tend to look back instead of looking forward to where we have to go. Philippians chapter 3, and the verse is verse number 13. And let me get there real quick. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm starting my reading at verse number 13. Listen what it says here. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." See, imagine running. Now, you know, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, and, you know, sometimes as kids, you know, we run and we run aimlessly, you know, and sometimes, you know, there have been times where I done, you know, tripped over things and ran into things because, you know, I'm just running, right? And there's times where I'm running and I'm looking back and I've ran into walls, I've ran into all kind of things, right? And it's the same thing in this Christian race that we're in. A lot of times what holds us back is that we tend to look back. Each and every one of us, Right. And the prime example we have of an individual not looking back, right, and going forward is Christ. Just think about this. Jesus Christ left heaven to come here. Now, what if Jesus Christ's whole time was not to focus on what he had to do here, but focus on what he missed back in heaven? Think about that. Now, I've seen some beautiful places in this world, but can you imagine leaving heaven? The most beautiful place you can imagine. And then coming here to serve wretched people like us. And not only that, that these people that you serve, that you left home for, end up crucifying you. When I talk about we shouldn't look back, Jesus didn't look back. He had a job to do. And that job was to come down here and die on a cross for our sins. And the things that we do on this earth cannot even compare to what Jesus done. But yet we still look back. The things that we have on this earth don't compare to heaven, yet we still look back. We all should be pressing forward, encouraging one another to move forward, to run. Yes, it's going to be a difficult run. Yes, you're going to face all type of obstacles, but our Lord and Savior did the same thing. He faced all type of obstacles that was out there before him. And when we're running this race, right, we have to run this race with pace. You know, sometimes, you know, we have brothers that are walking, crawling, when they should be running. We even have some brothers that even walk off the track, walk off the course. And when they come back, they don't know where everybody is because we don't pass them by. Think about that. So we're all running this race, and then this race is set before us, and that we need to understand that when we're moving, that we need to move forward, and our goal should be Christ. That we should have a goal in mind. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I keep want to remind you, that this race is not going to be easy. It's not. And if you look at our members here today, and the members that's not here, you can see that this race is not easy. Now, if you look in this auditorium, it's empty for the most part. Not by members that's just neglecting the assembly. We got members that are going through struggles physically. It's happening. But that's a part of the race. You know, I reach out to, you know, the things that gets me going throughout the week is every week I reach out to some of our members, those who are not here. And, you know, I don't know how she does this, but I believe, and Lord, forgive me if I get this wrong, but I reach out to me and Sister Betty Hunter. We talk almost every week. And, you know, and I tell my wife, and she gets so tickled, is because when I don't know if anybody ever sent Betty Hunter a text, right, and how she sends texts and emojis and stuff. I'm like, how do somebody that's in their 90s do that? I don't even know how to do it, right, you know? But she's so cheerful, right? She's so cheerful, you know? And you think about the race that she's run. She's not here physically, but she's here spiritually with us, y'all. You can send her a text, and next thing you know, she's cheering you up. And you know, and I still want to talk to her and see her in person because I want to ask her, how do you do those things on your text? And not, you know, typically somebody in their 90s, they barely know what the phone is, but she's able to do all kind of things with this phone that I don't even know how to do. Right? But my point is that she's there cheering me on. Even though she's not here physically, she's still cheering me on. And that's what we need to do with one another. That we all are in this race together. No, I can't run her race. and she can't run mine. I have to run my own course. And each and every one of us have to run our own course. And listen, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see some other things that the Hebrew writer has to say about this race. He says, let us run. And listen what it says here. With patience, the race which is set before us. When we look at that word patience, it means endurance. We got to endure some things. Whether it's your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's your co-workers, your family, you're going to endure some things if you're going to be in Christ Jesus. You know, and my wife can attest to this, is that when I put on Christ in baptism, my family, that, you know, I mean, they talk to me, but they really don't talk to me, kind of thing. And, you know, and I had family members that when I first obeyed the gospel, is that I had so much fervor and so much zeal in me that I wanted to share it. And I have family members that still don't talk to me to this day, because I tried to share the gospel with them. See, we all have to run our own course, and that we're going to endure some things. We're going to go through some difficulties that and notice that it says that this race is set before us, meaning that each and every one of us have our own course. We all do. In verse number two, look what verse number two says. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. See, we started off, notice that we started off in verse number one, looking back to the previous verse. But notice in verse number two, it tells us to do what? Look forward. Look towards who? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has blazed the trail for us. Too many times that we're looking to our sides for people that have not even finished the race. Sometimes we admire people that's not even in the race. Well, we got Jesus Christ, who has come and set the trail for us. The only thing we have to do is follow him and keep our eyes on him. That's all we have to do. And run. Run, church. Too many times we have too many brothers and sisters that are not running. And sadly, we have too many that have walked off the course altogether. Now, the Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what exemplary faith is. Right? That's what it does. It shows an example of exemplary faith. But chapter 12 shows us how faith is developed. How is it developed? If you continue to read, and I'm going to stop right here, but if you continue to read in verses 3 through 11, it tells you how faith is developed. God's discipline. Meaning that God is going to allow you to go through some things to toughen you up, to strengthen you as you're running this race. The end of chapter 10, it shows us what faith is not. The beginning of chapter 11, the Hebrew writer tells us the definition of faith and gives us examples of faith. Chapter 12, it tells us that we need to run. And the verses 3 through 11, it tells us how our faith is developed. Too many times we want faith, but we don't want our faith to be developed. That's the rough part, right? Yeah, that's the rough part when we have to go through some things. It's called God's discipline. God allow us to go through some things to toughen us up. Why? Because Christ went through everything. So my time is short. And I wish I can go on to talk a little bit more about this run and how our faith is developed and how God disciplined us. But when I close, what I want to do, I want to close and tell the members in this room, because we're all members. I don't see anybody that's not a member of the Lord's church. Run. And if we do have somebody that's not a member of the Lord's church, you haven't even registered to run yet. You haven't put your name down to run yet. You can't even enter the contest yet. If you want to enter the contest, what you need to do, you need to hear about what God, Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you believe him? Do you believe what you hear? Then do you realize, hey, you know what? I've been running on the wrong course. I need to change and get on the right course. Repent. Would you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the one that has completed the race, and say, I pledge full allegiance to him, and I'm going to run the course that he sets before me no matter what? Confession. Are you willing to go into the watery grave of baptism and have your sins washed away and put on your uniform and get ready to run? And not only that, to live faithful to the end, meaning you stay on that course no matter what. If so, please come up. Or maybe we have some individuals that may not have been running. Maybe they decide to slow down. Maybe they decide to take a detour. Well, this is your opportunity to get back on track as we stand and sing the song of invitation.